Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I want to say hello today, and we want to welcome you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and we appreciate you listening in today. We want to take just a moment to invite you to the church. Mount Lebanon is located just outside of Boone, Highway 105 South, and you will find on the right about 2 miles outside of the Boone city limits, Baird's Creek Road, and we are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We'd love for you to come and visit with us and be with us in any or all of our services. Our services start on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday school for all ages, then 11 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service, Sunday nights, second and fourth Sunday night at 6, and then every Wednesday night at 7. This Sunday, we're having a special guest speaker, Brother Ron Williams. He will be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. He is involved in children's home ministry and has been for many, many years, and we've had him several times down through the years. We'd love for you to come out and hear what Brother Williams will be preaching upon. He usually takes up the subject, something to do with the family, and I'm not guaranteeing that. I don't know what he's going to preach on, but he does a lot along those lines. Well, it is good to be here. We want to welcome all of our listeners. Noah has not arrived yet. He is running just a little bit late, but we appreciate what he does to help us out on the radio broadcast, and we appreciate those listeners here on AM 1450 WATA, and then our Saturday radio broadcast on 690 AM Bristol, Virginia, and also 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be on these radio stations, and we want to say Merry Christmas to everyone and Happy New Year. This is the this is Christmas week, and I am going to do something today that I've never done on the radio. Of course, if I didn't tell you about it, you wouldn't know what I was talking about, but I left my house with what I had prepared for today's radio broadcast. And from leaving my house to arriving, I've changed my mind. I'm going to do something different. I'd already announced it. Usually I put something on Facebook and say, you know, tune in today at 11:30, and this is what we're going to be dealing with on the radio broadcast. But I just want to, I'm just going to go with what I feel like the Lord has impressed upon my heart to do. And what I want to do today, it is Christmas week, I'll just deal with this maybe next week, what I was going to talk about today, teach about today. But what I'm going to do is give you some of what I preached on last Sunday. I preached on the subject of happiness. And what got me to thinking about this, I had a few stops to make before I got to the radio station. One of those was I went by the hospital. We have some members in there. We were visiting. I went in the hospital and went through the hallways, and you pass through the waiting rooms. And, I mean, it just one of the rooms was full there. And then I passed on down the hallway. There's a little family in another waiting room and children in there, and looked like a dad. And they were evidently just spending the day. They probably had somebody in there. I'm sure they had somebody in there waiting on them. And I thought, boy, here it is. And it's almost Christmas. And it'd be bad to be spending your Christmas in the hospital, and a lot of people have serious things going on. Maybe others are having outpatient surgery, something like that. But it just made me think back to what I preached on Sunday. I preached on the subject of happiness, and this is not a Christmas message per se, but at this time of year, especially if you know anything about if you talk to those that deal with people that have addictions, if you were to be in contact with the suicide hotline, If you talked with people in law enforcement or social services or pastors, preachers, churches, the holidays, you know, I'm talking from Thanksgiving all the way through New Year's, are not the happiest time of the year. Like the song says, this is the most, I don't know, what does it say, happiest time, joyful time of the year. It's not that way for a lot of people. A lot of people are extra sad at this time of year. A lot of people are dealing with things, you know, the holidays, Christmas and Thanksgiving and all of that, all the advertising. It brings up sometimes bad memories, or it brings up issues in their family that they don't think about the rest of the year. Not everybody gets to be home with their family. And so I want to just bring out some things today and talk about the subject of happiness. Happiness is a Bible subject, by the way, and it is all right with the Lord for us to be happy. In fact, I believe that He does intend for His children to be happy. Well, let me just read a couple of verses out of Psalms 128 and a couple of verses there. This is where we'll start today. The Bible says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." And so we just want to spend some time today talking about principles of happiness. Now, when you read in the Bible the word blessed, and when you read in the Bible the word happy, the word blessed and the word happy are the same Hebrew word. And it means to be happy. Oh, how happy. Happiness with an exclamation point on the end of it. That's what the word means. It's expressing blessedness. If you're happy, you're blessed. If you're blessed, you're happy. It's two words that are interchangeable in the Bible. And you see a lot of things out here about happiness. I saw a sign in the store the other day that said, "Happiness is a choice." And I thought a whole lot about that. Is it really a choice? Is that a true statement? What does the Bible say about that? Does the Bible teach that happiness is a choice? The Bible gives us principles to live by. A principle is this. It is the cause of something, the source or origin of something, the source of anything, really. A principle to live by. And so what I'm teaching today, what I'm telling you today, the Bible, if we will follow the principles in the Bible, number one, number two, number three, you'll get X result. You'll get a certain result. And so this passage of Scripture here is talking about happiness and what the Bible has to say about that. If we'll follow these principles, the result will be happiness. Let me say some things about happiness. Happiness is not an automatic thing. You know, it is something that is a result of choices that we make. Happiness is not a genetic thing. Well, mom and dad were happy and grandpa was happy, and so that's why I'm happy. You have plenty of parents that are happy and children that are unhappy. Sometimes you'll have children that are happy and their parents were grumpy. You know, they were never happy with anything. So it's not a genetic thing. It's not something that we inherit along through life. Happiness is not an economic thing. I mean, it's not something that you buy. It's not something that if you have X number of dollars, you'll automatically be happy. There's a lot of rich people that are unhappy. A lot of people think if I just had a little bit more, I would be happy. But if you had a little bit more, what you would find out is you needed to have a little bit more than that in order to be happy. A lot of it, just by way of example, if some people say, "Boy, if I just had this car, I'd be happy. If I just had this pickup truck," or whatever the case might be, that would really make me happy. But if you had it and didn't have a nice dry place to park it in, you wouldn't be happy, because what you'd invested your happiness in is sitting out in the snow and the ice and the salt and everything like that. And then you'd say, "Well, I'd be happy if I didn't have to drive my nice vehicle in the salt. Now I need something. I need a winter car." You know what I'm saying today? If happiness is based on things and money, then how much? What's the price? What's the price? What about if inflation takes place? You see, happiness is not an economic thing. You can just look around out here in life, And I've noticed this, and you have too, if you've been around any length of time at all, that there are some people that by the world's standard, they really ought to be happy. I mean, they've got everything a person could want. They've got, let's just say, they've got a nice house, they've got a nice car, they've got a good job, they've got a nice family, you know, they're living the American dream. But a lot of times they're not happy. And then there's other people, everything that can go wrong does go wrong. And they're continually battling some battle in their life, whether it's family, financial difficulties, something going on with their health. You know, if it can go wrong, it does, but yet they're happy all the time. And they've got a good attitude. So it's not something that, well, if you got money or if you don't, that is not what makes a person happy. But there are some principles in the Bible that I want us to notice today that if we will incorporate these principles into our life, the result will be to be happy. And we're going to point these out. There's only 6 verses in the book of Psalms, chapter 128, and we're going to point out 3 principles from these verses. Now, the first principle has to do with our God life, is what I'm going to call it. The first principle of happiness has to do with our relationship between us and the Lord. The Bible says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." Now, as we've already said, the word blessed and the word happy are interchangeable in the Bible. So when it says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord," you could also say, "Happy is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." Now, what it's talking about here is our relationship with the Lord. If just being saved made a person happy, then every saved person, every child of God would be happy. But I've pastored a long time now. A lot of God's people are not happy. A lot of people that, and I'll put it this way, go to church and claim to know the Lord, well, they're not pleased. They're not satisfied with anything. I've said before, if they went to heaven, they'd find something to gripe about. They'd find something to criticize. They'd find something. That's just their nature. Well, there's no reason to be that way. Then on the other hand, there's people that they don't know the Lord, yet they seem to be happy and satisfied in life. They have gratitude. They just have a good outlook, a good attitude about life. Even when bad things happen, they say, well, we're just going to have to deal with it the best that we can. And, you know, their scripture might be, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And so they may not know the Lord, but they're happy and they've got a good attitude. And so it's not a true statement to say, well, all Christians are happy, because they're not. It is not a true statement to say all that are not Christians are unhappy, because they're not. Now, we don't have time to go into all the reasons there, but we'll just get back to our verse. This is describing a principle in the Bible of having, number one, a right relationship with the Lord, and number two, having a right relationship with His Word. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. So there's a fear of the Lord, a right fear of the Lord, and a walking in His ways. To fear the Lord and walk in His ways is about having the right attitude and then carrying out the right actions in our lives, the right attitude, that fear of the Lord. I skip church and I'm afraid God's going to strike me with lightning. That's not a proper relationship with the Lord. A fear of the Lord, when the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, is just talking about having a right relationship with the Lord, a right attitudes toward the Lord, that the Lord is the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. He is Jehovah God. He's the Creator. He is in charge. He's the Master. He's the expert on all areas of life. He knows us. His Word is perfect. His Word is right. So to fear the Lord, I'm acknowledging the presence of God in my life, that He is everything and I am nothing. to walk in His ways, to fear the Lord and walk in His ways, is that as I read and study the Word of God, as I learn about the Lord in the Bible, I acknowledge these things are true. That is God's rightful place in the universe, in the nation, in my life. And like John the Baptist said in John chapter number 3, I think it's verse number 30, he said about the Lord Jesus, he said, He must increase, I must decrease. God needs to get bigger, I need to get smaller. God's Word has the answer. Now, people are running around, they're looking for answers. Answers, what about this, what about that? What I was going to deal with today, for example, and I'm actually going to put that off and probably deal with it next week. But I had said I had advertised, I guess that'd be the right word to put it. I had put on Facebook, made an announcement that all the problems in the world could be solved today by following two commandments in the Bible. Two commandments would solve all the problems of the nations, all the hunger problems, all the fighting, all the wars, all the economic problems, if we would follow two simple commands in the Word of God. Mark chapter 12, verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? This scribe came, and he asked the Lord Jesus, what's the first commandment? What's the greatest? Of all the commandments in the Old Testament law, what's the greatest? What's the first? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And so if we would just follow those two commandments, which the Lord Jesus said there's no other commandments greater than these, that'd solve everybody's problem. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That'd take care of thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit bear false witness against thy neighbor. I mean, we'll deal with that next week, Lord willing. But that's just an example. Boy, if we would follow His ways, if we had a right relationship with the Lord, there's happiness in that. Well, we have to go on down. Verses 2 and verse number 3 has to do with, now we're started with the Lord, a right relationship with the Lord. The next thing we could say has to be a right relationship in our home life. The things that are very closest to us outside of our relationship with the Lord. Okay, verse number 2, For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Now, there's a great many things we could say about these verses. We just have to quickly go over them. The first thing that he mentions is our labor that we have, our work. That's what he says. He said, For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18 says, Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. And so there ought to be a right relationship with our labor, with the work of our hands. Then he mentions in verse number 3, our family life, thy wife shall be as the fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. And so there needs to be a right relationship with the things that are very, very closest to us, our labor, our home, our wife, our children. And as I think about these things, these are very, very simple things. Happiness in life cannot be bought. Happiness in life will not come by pursuing things outside of the will of God. The best things in life are free. And happiness actually comes from very, very simple things. You don't have to have money to be happy. In fact, a lot of times people that have money are the most unhappy. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." If you're rich in the things of the Lord, it is not attended by sorrow, but it is attended by happy things. And so he mentions our labor. He mentions our family, the wife, the children, all these things. Happiness in life comes from very, very simple things. And we can think about just simple things growing up. And a lot of times people think back on their life and they think about when they were growing up and they say, boy, those were the good old days. Well, what made it good? You didn't have cell phones. You didn't have cable television. You didn't have a lot of money a lot of times. You didn't have smartphones. You didn't have all this stuff that we've got today. I mean, but a lot of times people look back and say, those were the good old days. Well, what was good about them? Well, it was just simple. And, you know, people, I know people, my parents, my mother grew up in a large family. And I've heard her many times talk about, you know, all we got for Christmas was a orange and a peppermint stick. But they were happy. And, you know, they were not flooded with all this stuff. We're spoiled. And being spoiled and having no more stuff does not make you happy. Happiness in life comes from simple things. So there has to be a right relationship with the Lord. There has to be a right relationship in our home life, our work life. You know, a lot of people are miserable. They hate their job. Well, 20 more years and I'll be done. You gonna waste 20 years of your life doing something you hate to do? Man, I just don't know about that. I don't think that's the Lord's will. Just going to make a little more, do a little more, 5 more years. Boy, that's an awful way to live life. And so he talks about these things. Then he comes down, verses 5 and 6. I've got to move on. And I hope this will be a help and a blessing to you today. But he says, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." So he begins to talk about other things. Notice the circle is spreading out here. He starts with God. Then he talks about your family, your work and your family and your wife and your children. Then he talks about the things outside of our work and outside of our family. He talks about the nation around them. He talks about Zion. "Thou shalt be blessed out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." So he's talking about the world. We could just lump this and say our social life, our extended life has to be right. Our problem in America, and one of the reasons why people are so unhappy, in spite of the fact that we've got everything. I mean, as far as I know, nobody listening into the radio today had to get their family's clothes and go down to the creek and get water and come back and heat it up and wash your clothes on a washboard and, you know, rinse them out the best you could and hang them up on it. I mean, we got it made in the shade with lemonade. We're blessed on every hand, but people are not as happy today, I would say, as they were years ago when they didn't hardly have anything, when they run around barefooted 6 months out of the year. What's wrong with us? Our problem is we've got this whole thing upside down and inside out. The key to happiness in Psalms 128 is God first, family second, everything else third. If you get those things lined up, you'll be blessed, you'll be happy. That's what the Bible is teaching here, but we've got that upside down. We are trying, and I say we as a society, we as a whole, we as a nation, we as a people, are trying to get our happiness from outside. We're trying to derive our happiness from the world and the things of the world. And so people go outside of the home. They go outside of their relationship with the Lord. They're trying to get all the things the world is dangling out here in front of us, and the thinking of society and corporations and advertising and all of this is, boy, if you just get this, if you attain this, then you will be happy. But that is a lie. That's a farce. But here's what people are trying to do, trying to get their happiness outside. And so they devote the whole of their time and their energy and their efforts to the world. And then what little time that they have after, you know, they'll go pick up the kids from daycare. And God forbid you have more than two in America. You know, that's the attitude of people. Well, we want a family. And people say, well, family, that's one child, two child. That's enough. We don't want no more. You know, but the Bible says that children are an heritage of the Lord. That's what it said in Psalms 127, verse number 3. That's the previous chapter. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. But here's how people are. Well, we're going to devote everything to the world, pour all of our time and energy in the world. Then we're going to have a little bit of time for the kids and the wife and the husband. And then if there's any time left over, we'll give God an hour or two on Sunday, or we'll do something. You know, God's at the bottom. This is what I'm saying. We got everything upside down. World first, family second, God last, if anything. But the principle in the Bible, principles of happiness that we find in the Bible, is God first, then our family, then everything else. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible says, over there, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You want to be happy at Christmas? Forget about the commercialism. Just recognize it for what it is. Happiness is simple things. God first. There'd be no Christmas if it wasn't for God. There'd be no Christmas without Christ. That's what it's all about. When you see those signs, Jesus is the reason for the season. There's no other reason. But it's simple things. It's not about how much you buy. It's not how much you get, how much you do. It's God, family, and all the rest. God said he'd add unto us. Verse number 4, I've not read this yet. It said, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. You want to know an example of the blessed or the happy person? Here it is in Psalms 128. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. This is what it looks like. God, family, everything else. Behold. When you see behold, you open up your eyes, you look. That's what the Lord is saying here. And so the Lord changed my message on the way over here. I really hope it's to help somebody and to be a blessing to somebody. Happiness is a choice. It's actually an accumulation of right choices. If I could give you a gift from the radio today, well, I'm not able to do that, but this would be my gift. I hope you'll think about what it really means to be happy. And you need to know that it is possible, and it is of the Lord to be happy. It's not required to live, but it sure makes life a whole lot better. And so we appreciate you listening into the Blessings of Liberty today. And Noah's going to come. He came in here, and he's going to come give us the contact information. We hope you have a great day. We hope you have a great Christmas, a happy new year, and that you recognize the blessings of the Lord in your life. Noah, you come ahead, give the contact information.
All right. You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. Or you can reach us through our church website, and that, or our church phone number, excuse me, and that's 828-963-4596, 828-963-4596.